Welcome to the first episode of Doctor Who 50 and 50 through Bureau 42. As a lot of people know, this is the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, and this podcast is being released 50 days before the exact 50th anniversary date of November 23rd, 2013. For the next 50 days, we're going to release 50 daily podcasts discussing key elements of the series. Now, like a lot of listeners, I didn't really watch the classic Doctor Who growing up. I tried, but in this part of Canada, it was airing 7 days a week during what were then for me school days for five of those. Because the structure of the original series was heavily serialized, meaning one story could take, well, anywhere from 1 to 10 episodes to tell, 4 and 6-parters being the most common, only catching 2 out of 7 made the story very difficult to follow. So I never really got into it. That changed with the 2005 reboot. Between DVRs, the evening schedule, and that sort of thing, it was quite easy to keep up with every episode, and I got hooked. I actually got hooked on the new series during that first season, and it was during the second season that I first started to get enough interest in the new series to want to go back and watch a bunch of the classic series just to fill in the history. This series of podcasts will be designed for people like myself who want to get into the classic series and want to watch it based on the new series. So we won't be discussing the new series explicitly as any of the topics over the next 50 days. It's going to be something of a chronicle as I go through that process of watching the classic episodes myself, because I am, to some degree, still even just getting started on it. There's a lot to go through. A lot of the topics for this series are being chosen based on the indications from Bureau 42 readers. We polled readers in 2011, asking for their favorite doctors and their favorite stories for each doctor. In 2013, we polled people about their favorite villains, favorite companions, and the stories to match. We are using the results of those polls to decide what 50 topics to discuss, because there's a lot more than 50 to choose from. So in this series, we're going to be discussing all 8 of the classic doctors. We are going to be discussing the major villains, the major companions and friends and allies to the doctor, as well as some major stories and some of the other technologies and concepts. In regards to the new series, there are a few good jumping on points. So if you're listening to this, not watching any incarnation of Doctor Who, you probably are better off jumping in on the new series. The classic series had some pretty strong scripts. There were weak scripts as well, but the budget wasn't there. Especially not compared to today. I've heard it said that the classic Doctor Who series was making episodes for what the Star Trek Next Generation series was paying for catering. I don't know if the difference is really that extreme, but it can certainly look like it. You can tell that the people producing the series were stretching every dollar to the limit. They just didn't have enough dollars to make the scripts they had and make them completely convincing. So if you're looking to jump in on Doctor Who cold with no background in the new series, I would recommend starting either with the relaunch itself, the 2005 season, the first episode titled Rose with Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor. If you're looking for more recent jumping on points by the time you're done listening to this podcast, you'll understand enough to know how to jump in at the start of pretty much any season for the new series. They've had 7 seasons or series, as they're referred to in the local UK parlance. Any of those are good jumping on points. Basically, the one box set out there that I wouldn't recommend jumping in on are the specials. David Tennant did 3 regular series and then wrapped it up with a bunch of specials. Those specials are not a good jumping on point, although some of them are very enjoyable. I would jump on any series before that, especially a new series with a new doctor. So the strongest recent jumping on points are either Series 5, which is the first introduction of Matt Smith as a doctor, or Series 7. Series 6 works as well. As I said, the start of any series should be enough to jump in by the time we're done this podcast. Neil Gaiman is the one quoted as having what's probably the best introduction. He wrote an episode that aired during Series 6 of the relaunch. And when he was at a comic convention, someone asked him what it's like to write for a series that has this much history. And Neil Gaiman's quoted as having responded, "People are intimidated. They think that there's 47 years worth of stuff they need to know before they can enjoy anything. And what you want to say is, no, look, there is a blue box. It is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. It can go anywhere in time and space, and sometimes even where it's meant to go. And when it turns up, there'll be a bloke in it called the Doctor, and there will be stuff wrong, and he will do his best to sort it out, and he will probably succeed because he's awesome. Now sit down, shut up, and watch Blink." Now, that is good advice. Blink is part of the 3rd series of the relaunch. So if you're so inclined, that's a good starting point too. But as I said earlier, this series of podcasts will discuss only the classic series. When we do refer to stories, which we'll be doing primarily later on, We are going to be referring to them by story numbers. Each of the original stories was numbers. Now, there are a couple of different ways to number it for a couple of reasons. There is one story, for example, called Shada that was always intended to be in continuity, but a writer's strike ended up halting production before it was finished. If you go to Wikipedia and check those story numbers, Shada is not included as a numbered story. If you check the back of the DVDs, it is. Similarly, Season 23 had a story called Trial of a Time Lord that was basically one story that was broken into four independent parts. The DVDs themselves treat them as four different stories. The Wikipedia entry treats it as one story. So there is a little bit of dispute on how to number them. For the sake of the purpose of this podcast, which is helping newish viewers such as myself get into the classic series, we are going to be using the numbering that you can find on the backs of the DVDs. That'll just make it easier for you to track them down. Well, that's enough of an introduction. Now let's dive into the meat of this podcast. Today's podcast is about one concept that more than any other is probably the one that really sets Doctor Who apart, and the one that is very unique to Doctor Who, and that is the concept of regeneration. As a lot of people are aware, the star of the series is called the Doctor. He's not referred to on screen as Doctor Who by name. You can introduce himself as the Doctor and people will ask Doctor Who, but his proper name is the Doctor. At times he is even in the closing credits listed as Doctor Who, but he is the Doctor. Now the character has been played by multiple actors over the years. And this is actually a pretty interesting twist and somewhat serendipitous. This was not a part of the original concept. When Doctor Who first premiered, a lot of the core concept was there. You had a very intelligent alien traveling around with companions. Some were human, some were not. They'd show up in places, things would be wrong, and they'd fix them. The show proved to be extremely popular, especially in those first few years. And because of a combination of health issues of William Hartnell, who was the original star, and what sounds like some personality conflicts on the set, they decided to recast the role. But the issue with recasting in a lot of times is the audience doesn't accept it. It is a very different change, and any two actors trying to play the same part will inevitably play it differently. For proof of that, just check any random collection of Sherlock Holmes adaptations. This concept of regeneration allowed them to work around that. It was originally called renewal when it first happened, but essentially the members of the Doctor's race, the race being the Time Lords, have this process called regeneration. Now with this process, they basically grow a new body, so it allows them to recast the role. The end result is that you have a character with all the same history, and a basic level it is the same character, so the same memories, a lot of the same ethics, but a new look, a new personality, a new chemistry between the Doctor and his co-stars. It doesn't just renew the character, as it was originally referred to on screen, but it renews the series as well. So think of it like the way Star Trek will produce a new TV franchise every few years. They went from the original series to the animated to the Next Generation, DS9, Voyager, Enterprise. This is similar to that, but instead of creating a new series, it just changes the direction of the existing series, changes the tone even to a degree, and it feels a little bit different, but it's still the same basic show. It's still the same basic character. So what the audience has invested in this series emotionally is retained. Now, there were a few regenerations in the classic run of the series, which had a total of 160 episodes. In that time, they went through 8 different actors who were headlining as the Doctor. The first was William Hartnell, and he lasted a little over 3 years. In story 29, he regenerated for the first time. The second was Patrick Troughton, and he came in with a different personality. We'll talk about the personalities in detail later. And he continued on for 21 stories, wrapped up in story number 50. Now, this one is the one where the Time Lords, or the species he's a member of, force the Doctor to regenerate. So typically it's sort of a way of cheating death. The body's very damaged, it's going to die. It can basically grow itself a new body as a way of healing the damage. In the case of Troughton's Doctor, it was forced upon the character. So Troughton left and made way for John Pertwee, who took over in story 51 and continued up to and including story 74. Now, at that point, Pertwee's Doctor regenerated and was replaced with Tom Baker, who had the longest standing run in the series as the Doctor. He ran from 1974 to 1981, regenerating at the end of story 116, Legopolis. Peter Davison took over in story 117 and continued through story 136 from 1982 to 1984. At the end of 136, Peter Davison regenerated into Colin Baker. Colin Baker continued until story 147, the end of the Trial of the Time Lord that I mentioned. The actual regeneration took place early in Time and the Rani, which is story 148, and that was Sylvester McCoy from 1987, essentially, to 1989. And that was the end of the original run of the series. At that point, it was canceled and taken taken off the air. In 1996, there was an attempt to relaunch the series with a made-for-TV movie that brought Sylvester McCoy back long enough, essentially, to regenerate into Paul McGann. This is Paul McGann's only live-action story as the Doctor. It's story number 160. The made-for-TV movie didn't get picked up for reasons we can speculate about later on. So up to and including Paul McGann, we have seen the actual regeneration that led to the creation of the existing Doctor. All of this history is still intact, so the 2005 reboot isn't rewriting, it's not starting again, although you can jump in on that first episode and find that everything you need to understand the series is included on screen. It doesn't ignore anything that came before it. At least it doesn't disrespect it. There are some things that are never mentioned and probably never will be mentioned, but Christopher Eccleston plays a regeneration of the Doctor that comes after Paul McGann's regeneration. So all eight of those Doctors are part of the current Doctor's history. So at its core, that's what regeneration is all about. It allows a shift in tone of the series and it allows recasting of the lead role without throwing away everything that came before it. That not only sets Doctor Who apart from all the other science fiction in all the other countries in the world, but it also allows a mechanism which may be one of the main reasons that the original run of the series lasted for a full 26 seasons, which is not just a British record, but an international record for the run of a science fiction series. So that wraps up the regenerations in general. Please join us again tomorrow when we discuss William Hartnell as the first incarnation of the Doctor.